Welcome to the My Mickey podcast, where we explore the magic and wonder of Disney together. And now, on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the My Mickey podcast. I'm your host, Karen, and I'm the owner of and dream designer for My Mickey Vacation Travel. As usual, I'm joined today with my friends Danny, aka Dr. Disney, his wife, and my fellow dream designer, Stacy, and my husband, Jeff.
May the force be with you.
And also with you.
I was going to say it, but I can't. It's the whole Lutheran in me.
I can't help it.
I'll just say solo over here.
Ba-dum-bum.
It is a big Star Wars weekend.
It really is. And we were at studios yesterday, and there was so much going on Star Wars. You could just feel everybody was so excited for a solo weekend. And with the announcement of, we don't have an actual date, of course, but the late fall season. And you would have thought that, you know, Disney had announced it was opening tomorrow. But everybody's still so excited that we have at least a roundabout time of when we're getting a Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, it was interesting because, like, it's been, a couple of days since they announced the opening seasons for Galaxy's Edge. And, you know, Disneyland gets it in the summer of 2019. Here at Walt Disney World, we get it in late fall 2019. And we were just walking around at studios. There were a lot more people standing by the construction walls of where Galaxy's Edge will begin on both sides of the park. And, you know, like Stacey just said, you would think that it was opening later this week or in the next day or so, because people were now standing by the Millennium Falcon picture, taking pictures. There's a photo pass guy over there with lightsabers and letting you take pictures with them. And, you know, people are already excited. And I'm like, there's still like a year and a half.
It's going to be crazy. So cool. It's going to be so cool.
It is. I know it's going to be crazy. They actually have put, right behind the wall now, they've put a large tree so you can't see a lot over. So I know it's getting to the point now that everything's getting a lot taller and they're building more up. And so I'm sure it's getting closer, and the closer it gets, the more excited everyone's going to be.
I like the drone video that they put out. What was it, about 3 weeks ago or so? They did a drone video flying through the construction out at Disneyland, which is much further along than here in Florida. But I thought that was a real neat thing for them to do, just to kind of give everybody just a little feel for where it's at, and maybe just a little guide of the footprint of of course we've seen the 3D model that they had at D23 and such, but it was kind of nice to see it in real time. I mean, that's peeling back the curtain more than I think they've done in the past.
It really is. And I think what they're trying to do with these lands is they want people to see the expanse of it and just how, you know, how much land it will encompass. Like, you know, with the drone video, they took you over the entire thing from above. The new sneak peek they gave when they announced the opening seasons, they opened that hatch door and like showed it from above just to show you how big it's going to be. Because when you step into it, you're going to be immersed in it, but you're not going to realize just how large this land will be unless you're able to see it from above.
I love how they're doing that with the new lands now, with the quote unquote lands like they did with Pandora and now with Star Wars. I mean, you really don't feel like you aren't like walking through, you know, back in the day, land in the theme park. You were literally in a new world. With Avatar, Pandora, we were in a whole new world, and Star Wars is going to be amazing. I love what they're doing, with the detail with these new areas that they're opening. It's so exciting.
Oh yeah, and I think that we really see that when we go to, I mean, the first idea I had of that is when we actually got out to Cars Land, and you could see that there first, and I think they're just taking that to a whole new level.
Oh yeah, because Cars Land, you literally are on Route 66 in the middle of a desert. I mean, you would never know that you were right there in Anaheim, California.
Right. I mean, the only way to describe that is like you are literally right in the movie. I mean, you could feel like you're in the movie there. I know a lot of people have been over and they've seen the wall that they have, you know, Buzz Lightyear and Woody and Jesse, and then they are literally right up next to the wall now. The construction's right up next to the wall. So you can see so much more. And right behind the wall is where I know everybody's seen the large Woody statue, and where he's kind of, and I didn't realize it, but he's like right there. You can see him now right over the wall. And he, I guess he's going to be like welcoming you into Toy Story Land. But you can see that now. And when you look over and see it, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so close. So I can't, I absolutely cannot wait to be able to go into Toy Story Land.
And it's a few more weeks until we get to see that. Oh, it's going to be so cool. We were at the Earmarked Owner Summit last week, and they had a sample of what the Slinky Dog cars were from the Slinky Dog coaster, an actual similar size, same in everything. And we got to sit in it and take pictures. And it was so cool to actually get to sit in it. And it's going to be such a cool attraction, everything that they have there.
Was it comfortable?
It was very comfortable. It was very comfortable. It wasn't like, you know, am I going to be able to stuff myself into this child sized little coaster, you know, kind of like the Barnstormer.
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
And the Mine Train. That's kind of what I was afraid of. I was afraid it was going to be, you know, one of those types of coasters. But it's not. It's like a, the coaster itself, the seat that you sit in and all that is actually a full size, and it was very comfortable sitting in it. And yeah, so it's going to be really cool.
I'll put some pictures up of that on the, on our podcast website. You can find it at mymickeypodcast.com/7. So I'll put those pictures up of that. You know, Karen mentioned the Owner Summit, kind of getting back to Galaxy's Edge a little bit. We actually had the opportunity to hear from the lead Imagineer for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And I cannot, Karen and I cannot say a word of what he said.
But it was awesome.
It was so awesome. I mean, we know things that the general public doesn't. And it's all I can say is as amazing as Pandora was, this will be 100 times. It's going to be absolutely amazing and worth the wait. You know, Danny, you mentioned that year and a half. It's going to be worth that year and a half wait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember they showed us, we can't say exactly what they were, but they showed us some clips of some of the things that are already kind of what they're working on. Yeah. And the surprises and the things that they have. He said he can't wait just to be there and kind of hide and watch people's reactions as they're seeing everything and experiencing everything.
Well, that's what I was going to kind of add, Karen, was add to that was about the people. I mean, you have, I think, two huge type of fans in this world that I can think of. You have Disney fans, and then you have Star Wars fans. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do something as huge as a land that is for a Star Wars fan, you have to get it right.
That's
I mean, you could not miss that, because kids are going to love it. Don't get me wrong. It is, kids are going to absolutely love this, but this is something that parents are going, they're going to love it just as much as the kids. So they're going to be, you know, critiquing everything that is, well,
they grew up with it. You know, the parents were kids. Mm-hmm. They grew up during it. And now they get to share it with their own kids. And
I mean, so people, I mean, people going all the way back to the 70s are going to love this every bit as much as, I mean, mm-hmm. a movie was released today. So you better get this right.
No. So if you want to go the late fall of 2019, you better reserve your room when those rates come out, because it is going to be booked.
It's going to be booked. I mean, and I know people, a lot of people think that we're just, you know, trying to get a booking. No, we're not trying to get a sale here.
No.
It's going to be booked.
Well, I think,
it's going to be booked.
I think, you know, with them only giving us late fall, I mean, late fall goes the whole way up to December 20th. So it's going to be difficult to gauge when Walt Disney World opening will be in terms of getting that resort room. But summer of 2019 at Disneyland allows a lot of flexibility. And, you know, we've talked about it on this podcast over and over again. Disneyland is a very viable option for a lot of guests. And even if you're East Coast, I mean, there's a lot of direct flights between here and LAX. And for me, my eyes would be on Disneyland as opposed to Walt Disney World if I'm looking for a 2019 Star Wars experience.
Exactly, exactly. And Galaxy's Edge is the same in both parks. So if you want to make sure you get it and you can only go in October and that's the only time you can get out because your kid's fall break or whatever, then I would definitely plan on October in Disneyland. At least you know it'll be finished. Whereas in Disney World, you don't want to book it and then find out you're a week short or 2 weeks short and then you'd be stuck.
Yeah, because we're planning on going out once. I mean, because I know they'll give us an advance notice of what the actual opening date will be, at least a couple of months, like they've done in the past, and with lands, and we'll be there at Disneyland when it opens because we want to be there, we want to see it, and we're just excited to do it. And like Jeff said, you know, with the flexibility of the months, I think that's an interesting thing too, because you know, summer. It could be, say, that Disney, you know, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland opens in August. Okay, if it opens in August, then they're not going to want to jump on the thunder of that opening for Disneyland and steal it right away. So if it opens in August, I would not expect the one at Walt Disney World to open in like late September because, you know, or even the middle of October. I think they're going to push it a little bit more because they want to give some space in between the two.
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of leaning more towards December to be on the safe side if Disney World is what you're wanting for us to be a little closer. And again, that's still not a guarantee, but definitely Disneyland if you definitely want to see Galaxy's Edge, then that would be your better chance.
Well, and honestly, I think what's part of what I think the strategy is in this, and this is purely speculation, between now and late fall of next year, between that those two periods, you've got two summers. And what comes with summer but some potential for nasty weather? So I think they're building some construction slack time in there for rainy seasons and for, you know, God forbid, any, you know, storms coming through. And hopefully if none of that happens, maybe we'll see that date push up a little bit. I don't know. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look at the last 2 years for Florida, especially, there have been times that they would have had to push out for, you know, weather, of course. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, and they started the construction on both lands right around the same time. But the big difference is in Florida, they had to move a lot of dirt because of the swamplands. And, you know, if you drive, I guess was it World Drive? I guess you're driving
in,
and on the opposite side of the park, you can see like this huge crater. And I think the conveyor belt's been removed now, but there had been a conveyor belt for the longest time where they were just pushing dirt over there just to build up the foundation. They didn't have to do that in Anaheim. The foundation was already, you know, pretty well there. So that in and of itself already pushed the construction of Florida behind California.
Yeah, that conveyor belt, it is gone now. We actually just drove through there the other day, but it's been gone for a while. But it was interesting when that appeared because it spanned both sides of World Drive, which is about, you know, when you get to that part of it at near the end of property, it's around, I think it's just four lanes at the time, it may be six between the two sides. And it went over the top of it, went from this like land area, just, you know, untouched land area where there were trees, and they knocked them down and they started getting the dirt and brought it into studios where Galaxy's Edge is being built. And I remember when that appeared, social media started going nuts. They're like, something's going to happen and it's going to span over the interstate. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's just dirt.
I'm like, it's staying in the park. It's okay.
Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We've got a time frame, which is more than what we had. And it's exciting to start thinking about the planning aspect of that. I think you guys are right on point with late 2019, right up to the end, Disneyland being a viable option. So it's, you know, we're going to see these 2019 resort rates and availability open probably before the end of June. We don't know that for sure yet, but historically speaking, it's by the end of June. So I think we're going to be getting a lot of requests about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. But I also wanted to mention nowhere in any of these announcements was anything spoken or mentioned about this Star Wars resort that was I guess it was originally announced several months ago on Parks blog, or maybe even at D23. I don't remember.
They mentioned it at D23. They released pictures, graphics, things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not even on the picture for to coincide and tie in with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening. So if you're thinking that, no, not yet.
Yeah, that's not open. But we did get a little information from our mini driver. Remember when we were there, that cast member that was there? Yeah. We were, you know, trying to get as much info as we can from these cast members about whatever they know. And he did talk about the resort, saying that as far as he knew, that wasn't going to be open till sometime in 2020. And he also mentioned, which was new to me, I'm not sure if it was announced anywhere else, but it was only going to be a 2-night maximum to stay at this resort. Mm-hmm. Actual experience. It's not a resort, you know, where you book a room and you stay, and it's kind of a neat theme. You're actually a part of an experience and a show, so to speak. So you only stay for 2 nights.
Well, the interesting thing is, you have to think about is, and Disney has said this themselves, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and the Star Wars Resort, whatever it may be called at the time when it comes out, they're going to be connected. And those that stay at the Star Wars Resort, their experience in that resort with the rooms and the characters that are walking around in there and the dining and their activities that are going on inside the resort, it's going to be connected to whatever they're doing when they go into Galaxy's Edge. They're going to intertwine. I can't remember the exact phrase that Disney used, but that's essentially what they were saying, is they're going to coexist and their story will continue, because everything that you do, everything that any guest does in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, determines how your story goes that day. If you choose to go into this store and you go past a certain thing and pick up a certain item, it may lead you towards the dark side, or it may lead you towards the resistance. And as you go through the land, it will continue your story and guide it towards what you're going to do, your tale. Well, the same thing will happen with the Star Wars Resort, and people will have their story continue, and the saga will continue for them in whatever their fashion is. And with that being said, like going off of Jeff, is they need to have the land open before they can get to the resort, so people can learn what's going on happening there before their story can continue or pick up with the resort. So give them some time.
Gonna be crazy. Oh, it's gonna be crazy. Awesome. So awesome. Can't wait to see that.
I think by the 50th, we're going to see, Disney World's going to be huge by the 50th. I mean, we're going to have so much to look forward to. And they did announce so much at D23 that they're even working on now. And we've got Ratatouille. We have the new Guardians attraction coming over to
Epcot. Tron and all that.
We have Tron. I mean, there's so much coming in the next few years. That, I mean, Disney World's just really, really going to change in the next, I would say, over the next 5 years. I'd say we're going to see a resort that's really going to change over the next 5 years.
It will be very different. Really will.
For the better.
For the better, yes.
And still magical.
Oh, yeah.
It will, because they're not taking away. I mean, people are like, they're taking so much away. I'm like, you know, okay. So far, the only thing that they've taken away that's really kind of gotten to me was the Great Movie Ride. I mean, I can do without the American Idol experience. I can do without Lights, Motor, Action. A few years ago, they took away Mickey's Jam and Jungle Parade because they were starting all the construction, especially with, you know, Pandora. And I'm okay with that. Yes, do I miss some of these things? I sure do. And I'll certainly miss the Great Movie Ride. But there's still so much classic Disney here, and they're just adding on new things. So there's nothing wrong with that.
I still think it'd be kind of cool, though, if they did a separate land and bring back all the old things, like the Jam and Jungle Parade, the Kitchen Cabaret, Mr. Toad, and the Millennial Parade. I mean, wouldn't that be cool, though, if they had that? A whole big, like, nostalgia land of all the old things.
Yeah, it would be packed full of everyone.
It really would. It really would.
Where all the parents would be.
Yes. Oh, that would be so cool. They would have all that stuff. I would love
that. See, I'm not big on April Fool's jokes. But there was about 5 or so years ago, I wrote that article, which was an April Fool's joke about there being a park like Days of Disney's Past, I think I called it, with all the old attractions and the old shows. And like you said, Kitchen Cabaret and Tarzan Rocks and the Skyway and everything like that. And people still message me all the time and they're like, have you heard any more about this? and I'm like, this is why I don't do them anymore. And I haven't done one in years because of that. And I'm like, you know, it was just a joke. I'm like, but I purposely, it says April 1st at the top, at the bottom, it says it's an April Fool's joke. There's another link you can click. It says it's an April Fool's joke. And I'm like, you know, this just like, I would love the same thing. I said, I wrote that article because I would love so much for it to happen. And then, you know, just when I think it's disappearing, I'm in line at a merchandise store in Caribbean Beach Resort. And I hear a cast member telling guests, yeah, I heard that we're doing an old park. And I'm like, oh, he said, I saw this article and it's called Days of Disney's Past. And I'm like, I don't want to have to correct you, man.
Hey, I wrote that article and it's all false.
Karen, I think if you want some nostalgia, I have an idea for you. Find a cast member, have them take you out to the cast member store, and you might be able to find like an old dresser from Coronado Springs or something.
Well, it's not quite the same.
Well, it's about the closest you're going to get.
I know. Well,
Kitchen Cabaret.
I know. I have my CDs though, and that song is on it, and I like to listen to that while you're
not really like broccoli dressed up with
like
glasses.
Yeah.
Cha cha cha. Well, let's move on to something that's a little bit more topical for, instead of talking about something that's not going to open for another year, let's talk about things that are happening just this weekend. This past weekend, we saw the opening of Incredible Summer at Walt Disney World. So there's a little bit of everything at all four parks and even the water parks coming up over the summer. So let's talk a little bit about the Incredible Tomorrowland Expo at Magic Kingdom opening. I guess it opened on Friday, May 25th, and it extends through September 3rd. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so now there's been a bit of confusion, but the thing I'm most excited about is the fact that Edna Mode will be there.
Yes.
So I am excited about that. Now, I've heard different things, like the fact that she may not necessarily have an actual meet and greet, which I don't believe she will, but she will be, in Disney's words, quote unquote, interacting with guests in the Tomorrowland Expo Center, which is the Merchant of Venus store next to Anti-Gravity's in Tomorrowland. But they said she'll be in there interacting with guests and she'll be a part of the Tomorrowland dance party with the Incredibles. So that is one of the coolest things, is that they're actually bringing out a new character for guests to see, take pictures with, and everything like that. I am excited about her. I think that it's cool that they're actually going more than just, you know, a little bit of decorations and stuff like that, which is plenty up in Tomorrowland, but knowing they brought a new character out, that's awesome.
Well, prior to the introduction of Jack's superpowers, I thought Edna was probably the coolest character in that movie.
Oh, I love her. She's the best. I absolutely love her. I mean, she is awesome. We were in Disney Springs the other day, and I don't know if you guys had the chance to go in there when you were here, and we went to the new Disney Style store.
No, I didn't get to go in there. Yay. Oh my gosh. I can't even. It really is. And it's really, I think it's Jeffrey's fault, really.
Who else do we have to blame? I mean, really. It is great. It's great. Like, I could have literally taken everything. It's amazing. I know we went off topic. It's kind of still on topic because they have so much incredible merchandise.
Disney Corner.
But anyway, they have the coolest Edna Mode shirt. And you have to get it, by the way. But so much merchandise that you can tell that they're expecting this movie to be huge. And with the Incredible Summer here, I'm sure it's just going to take off. But with that, did you guys know that they're going to do, and I know you just went on a Disney cruise, Jack's Dapper Dash.
In Magic Kingdom.
No. In the Magic Kingdom? Are you kidding me? No. Are they actually going to use the baby, like people's babies, like they do on the cruise?
I'm thinking
that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying, which terrifies me because
I need to borrow somebody's baby.
I know. Yes.
You're going to get arrested.
Can I just bring your baby to Disney World and race it?
Okay. Exactly. So for those who haven't been on the Disney Cruise Line, Jack-Jack's Diaper Dash, it's basically putting out this huge mat with about maybe 15 feet long. It's got 4 or 5 lanes on it. You put your baby on one end, parents on the other, countdown, go, and the kids, the baby who crawls to their parent on the other end of the mat first wins.
It's funny. So all the parents have their cell phones raising.
It's nowhere near as organized as what Jeff just said. So
no, it's not.
Exactly. It's a lot more fun.
And if your kid stands up and takes their first steps on the cruise ship, everyone applauds, but then the kids are like eliminated from the competition.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so much fun on the cruise because there's a big crowd. And they do this in the atrium. Big crowd on the floor, and everybody's there with their cell phones. But the upper levels, you know, deck, I guess, 4 and 5, that have kind of an overlook into the atrium, packed. I mean, you would think that Mickey Mouse was out there doing a breakdance or something. I mean, it gathers people on in that area. Hundreds of people go to watch these babies crawl, and it is one of the funniest things you've ever seen, and they're bringing it to the Magic Kingdom. I love it.
I think it's going to be all the time.
Yeah, I think so. And I know you guys saw it too. And isn't it like the most competitive thing you've ever seen in your life?
It's crazy.
These parents get so serious about it.
These poor babies. We were on the cruise last week, and this baby was crying. She didn't have her nap, and she was just sitting there. It was pitiful. And the parents were like, "Come on, scoot along."
Oh, but the funny thing about that baby was she won. They only had 2 babies in the race, and so they did a best out of 3. Well, that baby, the first race, she took off and won. And I mean, she just it was her mission to win that race. Race number 2. Oh no, we're gonna have a meltdown. And it was the end.
Yeah. From what I understand, and again, always check the times guide because things are subject to change. I do believe the Jack-Jack Diaper Dash will happen at noon daily over in Tomorrowland. I believe near the Tomorrowland stage, the Rocket Tower stage, but that's not 100% confirmed. I know it's 12 p.m. each day during the Incredible Summer Expo, Incredible Tomorrowland Expo. And they're going to have registration start at 10:30 a.m. Now it's a limited amount of space, but you know it will. If you can get over there to get your baby registered for it while you're here, do it.
Oh, so funny! All right, I have to add that to my list when I go.
And just a hint: the one way I have seen babies win the most are parents to take the passy and take it on the other end of the mat, and the baby crawls to get the passy. That's your hint to win.
That's your tip of the day.
And please.
Tip of the day. Yeah, tip of the day.
And please, no wagering.
No. Yeah. But anyway, that's one thing I'm super excited about, sadly. And the next thing I guess we can all talk about, which we always have to talk about, the food. The food looks amazing there for the incredible summer over in Tomorrowland.
Oh, it really does. And I like how they have different options. You know, I'm looking at the pictures because I haven't, you know, I'm planning on going in a couple of weeks, but they have a kale salad with fruit and salmon or something.
I'm good.
It looks pretty and all. But then when they have the, over at Anti-Gravity's Galactic Goodies, they have the Edna Mode's No Capes, Just Crepes Ice Cream Sundae.
I love
that. That seems a little bit more, for me.
It looks really good too, because I know, like, yes. You know, that I mean that I think I love it when they get creative like that. And I know, you know, they're gonna, like you said, have the kale and salad. I think it's called the superfood salad over at Cosmic Rays, and they're gonna have things like that and everything. And but it's the names that kind of trip me out, like, more than anything. There's the super stretchy burger, which is modeled after Mrs. Incredible, and you know, it's of course, it's a hamburger and it's got cheese on it and bacon and stuff like that. But then it has mozzarella sticks.
To make it stretchy.
On the burger. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so. I just got it. Yeah.
That's why. Yeah.
The stretchy.
I got it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I got it.
See, Okay, I've got nothing on that.
And then they had the pretzel mask.
The incredible. I know. I think that's cool. That
it's got black salt on it.
See, this is what I love. I mean, I love the things like that, and I love that they're going all out for this. And Tomorrowland has all these different things all throughout, and you know they've got all these different like snacks and goodies and food, and they've got decorations up on the different attractions, and they have photo opportunities with different sets from the first movie, some from the second movie. It's a brand new experience, and it may just be for a limited time, which is fine, but it's a brand new experience.
Did you see the big Omni droid they have set up?
I'll tell them the whole
thing. That looks so cool.
Oh my gosh. I want to go see that. I don't care about anything else. I want to see the big Omni droid. Over it's I think they have it set up over there where Buzz Lightyear normally meets, right off of the Buzz Lightyear attraction there. But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's kind of beating into the concrete and everything. So cool.
Yeah, I think people are going to love it. And even when you walk into Tomorrowland now, up over when you walk into the entrance of Tomorrowland from Main Street, they actually have like the Incredibles insignia on top of that. And it just looks so cool. Yeah, it does. They've really gone all out, and I love it.
I bet you at night's going to be neat when it gets dark and they have neat lighting. I bet you I'll have cool something, lasers or something going on.
Right. So, and of course, I mean, last but not least, we can't wait to see the movie. So.
Yes, that'll actually be opening. I'll be on the Disney Fantasy the day they open. So I'm excited to see what they do on the ship.
Of course you will, Karen. Cool.
June 15th.
Yeah, June. We can't really say anything about being on the cruise a lot.
We
so.
Really can't.
Yeah, we won't be upset with you about that right now. Not today.
Although, but what I will say, my next cruise, I get to have that pretty black and platinum lanyard. I'm just going to put.
Oh that. Yeah, that you'll have to wear that proudly.
I will. I'll wear it all the time. I'll wear it to Target. I'll wear it.
I'll wear it everywhere.
Yeah, but anywho. I digress.
But not only do we have that, we also have Donald's Dino Bash started. And I am so excited because who doesn't love Launchpad McQuack?
Oh, I got to meet him last week. I know on a previous podcast, I believe I was shamed because I did not know who Launchpad McQuack was.
Oh, you got to meet a stranger.
Yeah, so I actually got my picture taken and I got to meet him. He was very nice and very forgiving. We had a nice conversation. He introduced himself, met him last week over at the at our owner's summit. So he had heard that I was not aware of him until recently. So
you had a great introduction.
We did. So we're on great terms now. So I can't wait to see him again at the Dino Bash.
And for our listeners, if you want to hear that public shaming of Karen, that would be back in episode one.
Yes, it was. I was shamed, but that's fine.
quick recap. She had never seen the Disney Afternoon. That's all you need to know. But at Donald's Dino Bash, Launchpad will be over there. I know that Launchpad and Scrooge will make, I think Disney has said like they'll make sporadic appearances. They'll appear from time to time. Donald is always over there. I believe Daisy will be over there all the time. Always check the times guide, of course. And Chip and Dale are there dressed up as dinosaurs. So there's really not much else needed.
And of course, a lot of other fun new things that we talked about in episode one happening at Animal Kingdom. We have the Up. A Great Bird Adventure has opened, so that is relatively new. So if you haven't been to Animal Kingdom in a little bit, take that up as well. And not necessarily right now, but starting in a week or two, over at Epcot, we have the Guardians of the Galaxy heading into the park, and they will be over at America Pavilion. Is that right, Danny? Is that where they're going to be with the awesome Mix Live?
Yes, they are going to be over at the American Gardens Theater in Epcot. I believe it starts June 9th, and they're going to be out there multiple times a day. I think it's five times a day, and you're going to see Star-Lord, you're going to see Gamora, they're going to have an alien band playing with them, and they're going to play songs from the awesome mixtapes volume 1 and 2. For those that may not be aware, and you should be because you should watch these movies, in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, and I'm not giving anything away, Star-Lord, Peter Quill, aka real name Chris Pratt, he has these tapes of music that were given to him by his mother. And that's pretty much all he has left from his time on Earth when he was a kid. And it's some of the best music that you will ever hear. It's some of the greatest songs over the last few decades. And they're all put together in an awesome mix. And awesome mixtape number one is from Guardians 1. Awesome mix number two is from Guardians Volume 2. And you're going to hear some of those songs during this Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, like performance that will happen daily at Epcot. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the music on the Awesome Mixtapes is primarily from the 70s. Tunes like Brandy by Looking Glass. And I think Brandy was like one of the central theme songs on the in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So if you're a child of the 70s, you're definitely going to love the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mixtape performances.
I can't wait for it. And you know what I love about what Epcot's been doing lately are these neat concerts and dance things, you know, between, you know, they've got this now, then they have the Garden Rocks concert in the spring, then they have the in the fall, the Food and Wine Festival, they do the Eat to the Beat concert series. I love all the entertainment and the fun things that they have going on at that park with music and dancing and entertainment. I'm really excited about seeing this.
And typically during the summer, they bring in those cover bands that kind of rotate each weekend. So I like this as an alternative to cover bands, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Oh, I do too, because I think this is one that kids are going to love. I mean,
right.
I don't know how often I get, is there anything Guardians there? Is there, because, I mean, little boys love this. This is one of their favorite movies right now. And so they're going to love to be able to see this. And I hate to say it, but, and Karen, I'm sure you get it too. I still get it all the time. I don't think we want to go to Epcot. I don't think there's anything for kids there.
Oh, I know.
And I think that's so outdated because right now there's so much for kids at Epcot. And I really think that's just something that I don't know how else to say it, except that's just outdated. That's not true anymore.
So they don't know where they're going, you know, which is why our guests that have spoke with a dream designer with my Mickey Vacation Travel, they are set. They know what all the cool things are to do. And there is a full day and fun things at Epcot.
Absolutely. And after I start telling my guests, did you know that that's the only place you can see, you can actually meet Anna and Elsa? Mm-hmm. Did you know that that's where the Frozen ride is? Did you know that's where Test Track Soarin', and you know, that's where those rides are? Did you know you can meet just almost every princess there? I mean, once you start telling them all these things, they're like, oh, well, I didn't know that.
It ends up being the kids' second favorite park. Obviously, Magic Kingdom is usually the first, but Epcot usually ends up being the kids' second favorite park.
And see, there's been a lot that's come about for Epcot, like Karen was just saying with the bands, and Stacey was saying with the characters. There was not a lot of that when I was younger, but maybe I'm a nerd, I don't know, but Epcot has been my favorite park since I was a child. I love Future World, and then I love that you can go to World Showcase and it's completely different. And it's still both, you know, two different worlds in one park, but they've added even so much more. So I don't see why you wouldn't want to go to Epcot. It's got something for everyone, any age, you know, any preference, anything they want to do or see is pretty much there.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to seeing this Awesome Mix live. And I can't wait to see what the 7-piece alien band is that's going to be playing. Excited to see what that's going to be like. I'm picturing the Toy Story aliens, but we know it's not going to be like that. But that's kind of what I'm picturing.
Yeah, I think you're still
the little green ones.
Well, speaking of little green aliens from Toy Story, that takes us over to Hollywood Studios, and we will be spending a lot more time on this in future episodes, but obviously the excitement over there for June 30th is Toy Story Land opening with the Slinky Dog Dash, Alien Swirling Saucers, Woody's Lunchbox, and all kinds of fun stuff over there. But also this summer, it's been kind of mentioned, but I think, you know, people focus so much on the four parks, they kind of forget the water parks. And over at Typhoon Lagoon this summer, starting June 21st, we're going to have H2O Glow Nights. And that's going to run every Thursday and Saturday between June 21st and August 11th. It's a specially ticketed event from 8 to 11 each night. And it is a I guess it's going to be a reimagining of the park at night, which we typically don't see the water parks open in the evening. So this will be really cool. But they're going to be, it's going to have a Toy Story tie-in.
Yes. I mean, we're going to have, they're going to have some characters around. I know that they're going to have, you know, a DJ with a dance party and everything. You know, Woody would be over there, Buzz Lightyear. I know Jesse will for different character meet and greets. There's going to be limited time food and there's going to be different themed, you know, drinks and everything like that. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but your host is Party Source Rex. And that is one of the coolest thing ever because Rex is one of my favorite characters from the Toy Story world. And he is, as they put it, the dinosaur of ceremonies. And he's going to have all his friends there and they're going to greet people. And despite all of the Toy Story stuff, if you've never experienced Typhoon Lagoon at night, you're missing out. It's one of the coolest things.
So that's going to be, like I said, a special ticketed event. They're going to have a special area just for adult party goers. So if you want to be there for the adult beverages and for, as Disney explained it, refreshing libations that will be available to purchase. That will be there as well, which is, I think that's a nice touch. And obviously they're going to have limited time food because what would a Disney party be without special food? And The cost for this event is 55 plus tax for adults, 50 plus tax for kids ages 3 through 9. And so we'll see how this goes. I think this is the first time we've done something like this at the water parks as a special event. So it'll be kind of cool to see how this works throughout the summer. So great, great idea. Hopefully they can pull that off.
I don't think it'll be a problem. I mean, it's like I said, it's not something that happens often where you get to go to the water parks late at night. They've done it for special events.
Right.
When I was in the college program back in 2000, I worked as a guard at Typhoon and they gave us a couple of nights where they allowed the guards to come in and enjoy the park at night. And seeing a water park in the evening, once the sun goes down, because I mean, it's still warm enough here in Florida to enjoy it, and being able to be on those slides or in the wave pool and everything like that at night, it's a completely different experience. It turns that park into something else. And adding all these dance parties and the characters and the Toy Story event, it's really going to be quite cool. And I think this is something that could bring in a lot of attention and a lot of guests. And this may be something that continues, hopefully, from summer to summer.
Well, it's going to definitely be a fun summer at Walt Disney World Resorts. There are still some summer discounts to be had on Walt Disney World Resort hotels. So definitely reach out to your dream designers at My Mickey Vacation Travel for some last minute summer vacation plans. Lots of fun stuff happening at Walt Disney World this summer. So we'll just go ahead and wrap it up there. I think we've covered everything for the summer. So thank you guys for a great conversation. It was fun exploring all the new summer things happening starting this past weekend. Folks, please do us a big favor and subscribe to our show. We'd love to have more and more listeners every week. And you can do that by visiting our website at mymickeypodcast.com/subscribe. And for show notes and pictures and all kinds of fun things that we talked about today, you can find that at mymickeypodcast.com/7. And now, of course, a big shout out to the folks who make this show happen, the wonderful dream designers at My Mickey Vacation Travel. We know that planning your once-in-a-lifetime trip to Walt Disney World or any Disney destination, for that matter, can be overwhelming. Be the star of your family by allowing the dream designers to walk you through the process. All you have to worry about is showing up and having a great time. Meet the dream designers at mymickeyvacation.com, and you can also find them by searching Facebook and Instagram using the keywords My Mickey Vacation. Also, a huge shout out to Danny, our good friend, Dr. Disney. You can find him at drdisney.com, as well as on Instagram and Facebook by searching Dr. Disney. And that is it for now. On behalf of everybody here at the table, have a great week, and we will see you real soon.